It seems like 1 Peter went very rapidly. And to realize that we're in the last chapter, chapter 5, next week we start 2 Peter, and it will go even more rapidly because it's just a little three-chapter book. And then on into 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, small books, book of Jude, the book of Revelation, and we will have completed our journey through the Bible for the seventh time. Ready to start in? The number 8 in the Bible is the number of new beginnings, and so we'll start a new beginning come summertime when we get into the book of Genesis once again. This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 7th verse of chapter 5, a short little verse that is couched in exhortations on either side. In verse 6, he tells us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. In verse 8, he tells us to be sober and to be diligent or vigilant. But here in verse 7, he tells us to cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for you. Paul the Apostle spoke of the cares of the ministry, and I am certain that every one of us have cares of life that threaten to bring us down. Jesus spoke about the thorns that choked out fruitfulness within a person's life. And of these thorns, he said, the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of things, they can become thorns that choke your life out, keep you from being fruitful. Paul, speaking of the cares of the ministry in his letter to the Corinthians, said that in his many travels, he faced all kinds of perils. The perils in the waters, perils of the robbers, from his own countrymen, from the heathen, in the perils of the city and in the wilderness, in the perils of the sea and among false brethren. Paul said he was often weary and in pain. Many times he was hungry and thirsty. There were times when it was freezing cold, and he didn't have adequate clothing. And he said, beside all of this, the things that come to me daily in the care of all the churches. But no matter what your lot in life, each facet of life, each person has their own set of cares. I think of the cares of a housewife, a mother, the managing of the household, the getting the kids off to school on time, making sure their lunches are packed or they have lunch money with them, having the meals ready, keeping the clothes clean, taking care and concern about the safety of your children. Years ago when we lived in Corona and we had 3 of our children who were under the age of 5, a lady in our church said to Kay, "Honey, now they are hand care, but the day will come when they will be heart care." It was, I think, a prophecy. They were hand care in the beginning, but there came that day when they became heart care, where we were concerned for them and the various things that they were facing, the pressures of an ungodly world. The husband has his share of cares. The pressures that he experiences on the job, the pressures of all of the bills that need to be paid, the care of providing for the needs of the family. These cares that a husband and a wife feel are only compounded in the life of the single parent who has to take both roles of mother and father with the children. And I think of the tremendous cares that fall upon the single parent trying to just make ends meet and trying to see that everything that can be accomplished is accomplished. And many times with all of these cares, people find that the cares become more than what they are able to bear. And some people try to escape from the cares of life by running away. But this surely is not God's way. This kind of irresponsibility only creates greater problems for those that are left behind. It has to be the height of self-centeredness and cowardice to run and to leave the problems with someone else to take care of. There are many people who seek to dump their cares on others. They seek to place the burdens that they are not willing to carry on someone else and to make it someone else's responsibility. We find this happening all the time. People are trying to lay on us their heavy burdens and their cares. They're not willing themselves to try and work it out or take care of it. They try and pass it off on someone else. They make a total mess out of their lives by their own stubborn rebellion, and then they want to dump that mess on someone else. Jesus spoke of the Pharisees. He said, "They bind together heavy burdens that they put on men, but they themselves will not even lift a finger to try and carry the load." And that attitude is very prevalent. People who create heavy burdens that they put onto others, but they themselves won't try and manage it or take care of it at all. Somehow, I feel that God never intended for man to live under the pressures of modern society. It seems like we live in a pressure cooker. The driving to work on the freeway is a pressure. Every so often, I have to get on the freeway during the drive time. Sometimes having to drive up to LAX to pick up someone from the airport. You get on the freeway in the afternoon, and I'll tell you what, I thank God as I'm going up there and coming back that I don't have to do that daily, that it's just a rare occasion when that falls my lot. And how I thank the Lord that this isn't something that I have to do every day, and how my heart goes out for those people who daily have to get into that traffic and all on the freeways during the rush hours. I'll tell you, I pray for you if that's your lot. But then think, the pressure of getting to work, getting there on time. And that can be tremendous pressure. We one time missed a flight to, of all places, to Hawaii. We were still on the freeway back around Hawthorne when the time came for our plane to take off. And we had left early enough, but there was the snags on the freeways. And I'll tell you, talking about frustrating, sitting there bumper to bumper, the traffic has stopped, and you realize our plane is taking off right now. But then when you get to the job, there's the pressure on the job as often you are being pushed to greater production or beyond your own capacities. And then finally at 5 o'clock when you get off of work, the pressure of the freeway hits you again until you get home. And then when you get home, the wife is there to tell you all of the things the kids did today. You've got to handle this, you know. And oh, man, I don't think God intended us to live under this kind of pressure. And you know, it's interesting. As we look at society, I sometimes wonder, are we truly advancing? You know, we're willing to put up with all of these pressures for 50 weeks out of the year in order that we might have a 2-week vacation. And so we look forward to that 2-week vacation when we can get a tent and we can just go out and camp somewhere and just spend our days lying around fishing, hunting, cooking the fish over the fire, the open fire, and at night just looking up at the stars and say, this is living. This is what life is meant to be. But just think of that primitive native living out there in the forest. That's all he does all year long. Fish, hunt, cook his food over the open fire, and we feel sorry for him. There are no psychiatrists in the jungles. Have we really advanced? Pressure, stress, cares. We all know what it's about. We've all experienced them. What are we to do with our cares? Here Peter tells us, casting all of our cares upon him. The Old Testament has an interesting story of a woman by the name of Hannah. She was filled with care. She lived in a culture that allowed multiple partners in marriage. And so she shared her husband with another woman whose name was Peninnah. Now, Hannah had a cultural curse of barrenness. In that culture, the greatest thing that a woman could do was to bear a son for her husband. But a woman who could not have children was looked down upon in that society and considered to be cursed by God. And thus she had that pressure of not being able to bear children. In the same token, this other wife, Peninnah, was very proficient in bearing children. She had lots of kids. And because Peninnah realized that their husband Elkanah sort of favored Hannah, she really pressed the point. She really taunted and teased Hannah for not being able to have children until the pressure became so great that Hannah was just weeping all the time and had lost her appetite. She was going with her husband, Elkanah, to Shiloh for one of the feast days. Now, not having children, she was able to travel with her husband. Peninnah had to stay home and take care of all of her kids. But as they were traveling, she was weeping. She wasn't hungry, wasn't eating. And so her husband scolded her for not eating and always crying. And typical husband, you've got me. Isn't that enough? You know, you ought to be satisfied. Look what you've got me. But it wasn't enough for her. And she was just pressed sore by the cares of not being able to bear a child. When they arrived at Shiloh, the place of worship. She was praying unto the Lord concerning this great care. But she was so burdened that she could not audibilize her prayer. Her lips were moving, but the agony and all was so deep that no sounds were coming out. And so she was just lying there in great agony, face no doubt contorted, and her mouth moving, no sounds coming out. And Eli, who was the high priest at the time, came by and saw her, and he figured, she's drunk. And he said, "Woman, leave the booze alone. It'll kill you, you know. Sober up." And she responded to the priest. And she told the priest of the great burden that she was bearing. She was longing for a child. And she said to him, "I'm not drunk. I am a woman with a sorrowful heart, and I've poured out my soul to the Lord." That's it. "Cast all your cares upon him." That's what she was doing. She said, "I poured out my soul to the Lord." And the priest said unto her, "Go your way, and may the Lord grant your request." Receiving the assurance, she got up, she ate, and she was with a happy countenance. Now notice, when she took her cares to her husband, it only caused a rift in their marriage. But when she took her cares to the Lord, she received assurance that the Lord would take care of her cares. Cast all of your cares upon him. Not some of them, all of them. Why? Because he cares for you. Have you ever felt that nobody really understood your condition? Nobody really cared what happened to you? It's interesting how that when we get sort of burdened down with cares, Satan likes to play with our minds. He likes to make us think that nobody in all the world has ever suffered like we are suffering. That our case has to be distinct and unique from anything else anybody has ever had. This is the worst case ever. And that there is absolutely no possible way out, and you've got to handle this whole thing by yourself because nobody understands you or understands what you are going through. And Satan likes to make you think that, to discourage you. We think of Elijah the prophet who was fleeing from Jezebel, and he had fled all the way down to the Sinai Peninsula, where he was hiding in a cave. And the Lord came to Elijah and said, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" And Elijah said, "They have killed all of your prophets, and I am left, and they're trying to kill me." And that's the way Satan wants you to feel. I'm the only one left, and they're trying to get rid of me. I am all alone in this issue. Nobody understands and nobody really cares. Well, I'm here to tell you today that the Lord understands and the Lord cares. And the Lord has said to cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. What a comforting thought. The Lord cares for me. Though I may fail, and though I may get myself into a lot of trouble, he has promised that he would never leave me or forsake me. And how that thought encourages me. I'm not alone in this. The Lord is here with me. He is here to bear the burden for me. He just says, cast your care upon me because I care for you. He cares for you more than you will ever realize or know. When Israel had gone into captivity and the people were taken from their homes and taken 400 miles across the deserts to Babylon, and there they felt forsaken by God. The whole families have been disrupted, and they were feeling quite alone, quite forsaken. And God sent a message to the captives through Jeremiah. And God said, I know my plans for you. They are plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to bring you to a glorious future. And then he said, you will call upon me and you will come and pray to me and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and you will find me in the day that you seek me with all of your heart. And the message of God to Israel is the message of God to you today. God said, I know what you're going through, but I know that I have plans for you. They're good plans. They're plans to prosper you. And the difficulty is intended to cause you to call upon me, to pray to me. And if you do, I'll listen to you. And you will seek me and you will find me in the day that you seek me with all of your heart. I'm waiting for you to turn in order that I might do the things I desire to do in your life. You have taken a path that is destructive. You are taking a path that can only bring you pain and suffering. You didn't listen. And now you're suffering the consequences. But I've allowed that to happen because I want to turn you from that path of destruction. And so if you will pray, I'll listen to you. And in the day that you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. How do we know that God cares? You know, one of the lies of Satan is God doesn't care. You made your bed, you sleep in it. And that the idea that he seeks to plant in our minds is that God is disgusted with us. He's not interested in helping us anymore. You have just done your own thing. You ignored God and the warnings of God, and now you've got what's coming to you, and don't expect God to bail you out. But Satan, Jesus said, is a liar. He's the father of all lies. God does care for you, and if ever Satan would challenge you to doubt that care that God has for you, then just look at the cross and see Jesus suffering and dying there on the cross, because the cross tells you in no uncertain terms that God cares for you. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Looking at the cross, Paul the Apostle said, if God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not much more freely give us all things? So whatever your need might be today, no matter how great your need might seem to you, God has already demonstrated his care for you is so great that he was willing to give you the most precious thing he had, his only begotten son. If God didn't spare him, but delivered him up for you, how much more will God not give to you today everything and anything that you might need? If you'll just cast your care upon him, you will discover the glorious truth that God cares for you. Some of you came to church today feeling under extreme pressures. The strain of this past week is almost more than you can handle. And the things that you'll be facing this next week has caused fear to grip your heart. Some of you may be as Hannah. You find that you're weeping all the time and your appetite is gone because of the concern and worry of the cares that you are trying to carry. The Lord wants to speak to you today and has spoken. And what the Lord is saying is, don't leave this place with those cares. Leave them here. Cast all your cares upon him. He's willing to bear the burden for you. He's willing to carry your load. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And if this day you will seek him with all of your heart, you'll find him. And you'll find him as the great burden bearer, the one who will carry your load. We sing, he knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. This morning, he knows your name. He knows the worries, your every thought. He sees each tear. But the beautiful thing is, he'll hear you when you call. Jesus said, your Father cares for you. He said, don't worry over the mundane things of life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Don't have anxious care over these things. He said, your Father knows that you have need of these things. Your Father knows your needs. He said, look at the birds. They don't go out and plant the fields and gather into the harvest and store it in barns. And your Father feeds them. They don't worry about it. Your Father feeds them. Now, if your Father feeds the birds, how much more will he not take care of your needs? And surely he cares for you. Cast all your cares on him. Let him carry them for you. Father, we thank you that you do care for us, that you have demonstrated your care for us over and over again. And we thank you, Lord, that you're there just waiting for us to cast our cares unto you. And so, Lord, today, may we do that. May we take those things that are pressing on us, those worries, the anxieties, the fears, the deep concerns, may we just cast them on you today, knowing, Lord, that you do care. And because you care, you will help. Lord, even now, May we, Lord, just give over to you all of those concerns and cares that have been weighing us down all week. Lift the heavy load. And we thank you, Lord, you're willing to carry it for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are down here at the front of the church to minister to you this morning, especially you who have come today with heavy cares and burdens on your heart and in your life. And they're here to help you to bring those cares to the Lord so that you don't have to go home with the same burdens that you brought to church, but you can just unload all of those burdens on the Lord today and just let him take care of it. Let him worry about it. And you just be freed from those anxieties and concerns that have just been wiping you out. Just learn today, cast all your cares on him. May the Lord be with you and guide and keep you in his love and by his power. And may you experience the wonderful work of God in your life this week as you see him do for you what you were trying and could not do for yourself. As he lifts the load and as he changes the circumstances and as he brings to pass his plans for your future.